The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers. And today I am joined by my good buddy, Clinton Bonner, as we are talking Seahawks draft for the 2023 offseason. Clinton, how are you doing?
I am strong, Brandon, having fun. I don't know about you, man. I know as we get a little older, I'll be turning 45 when this comes out this month. I turn 45 late March. Mm-hmm. By the way, Adam and I share a birthday, March 27th. Just saying, if anybody wants to send anything, I'll take anything. I'm not, you know.
You're not too proud to take birthday gifts.
I'm not too proud to beg. Choosy moms choose GIF. Doesn't matter to me. Whatever you want to send, I'll celebrate the entire collection. I'll be grateful for it. But as I age and time seems to go faster, so does the offseason already, right? It's like, I feel like we are square into, this is it. Like this it's combine starting this week. Then the draft is going to hit so, so quick. And we happen to have a freaking stockpile of picks, man. We got 4 in the first 52, 5 in the first, 80 something, right? So I'm gassed. I'm goosed. I'm all the G's, Brandon, all the G's.
Yeah. And that's just right now. Like, right. We don't know what John Schneider's going to do in the meantime. We could end up with 8 picks in the top 100 the way he generally goes, or maybe we turn it into some picks next year, which I'm not opposed to. I lobbied for it when we did our closeout show on the Field Goals podcast this past weekend. John Schneider, trade for first round picks next season. I want to have another team that I have rooting interest for to root against, just so I have 2 games on every weekend that I really care about.
Well, we get to do the live streams. Adam gets to put another hex on, you know, an entire franchise, yeah. Right? So our geolocation. Yeah. So if we trade, you know, if the Panthers move up and we move back, we get to cheer against Carolina for you know, 6 months. Right. That's not bad. That it's got that extra fun factor. And Lord knows I like the fun factor. I don't not expect Schneider to be fairly active. I'll be shocked if we just take our straight first 4 picks and stay where they are, especially if the first 4 picks, like 1, 2, 3, and 4, break the way that people seem to think they're going to break. And with that, you know, we never know. And Brandon, you actually lobbed this out on Twitter the other day. You shared, I think it was like maybe 2 weeks ago now or 10 days ago, where you basically just said, "Hey, you're these guys." And that was Schneider and you know, Pete, and was like, "Hey, irregardless of the name, what do you want position wise? What takes care of the needs?" And that got that caught a little fire, Brandon. You got some nice reactions on that one, man.
There are people who have opinions on where the Seahawks should go with these first 4 picks. And I think it's primarily based, when you're thinking top 4 picks, you're thinking based on need. What are the top 4 needs for the Seahawks? But there's also a component of this that I think we're going to see play into the draft as we go along, that, hey, maybe our 4 needs don't necessarily match up with the 4 strengths, or not 4 strengths, but you know, how are the strengths of the draft also going to play into those first 4 picks? Are those things that people considered at all when they threw out their picks? And so I want to throw a little bit of that into this as well, just when we're talking about where we might go with our 4 picks.
Yeah, it's a fun exercise for sure. The flock enjoyed it out on Twitter at Seahawkers Pod. Of course, you're doing a great job getting all the great activation. People just chiming in and having fun with it all. And a couple of things. I went back and, you know me, Brandon, I crunch the numbers. You know me. That's my big thing, big analytics guy, sort of. So I went and looked at it. I said, okay, what was the flock kind of saying from a crowdsource, you know, narrative there? So I'd say the most popular combination we saw out there went a little bit like this.
Ooh, let me guess. Well, yeah, I'm guessing because I didn't crunch the numbers. I saw some of the responses as they came in, but there were so many responses that I have no way of, I didn't process it all in real time.
You didn't crunch. You said it. You didn't crunch the numbers. I didn't so, crunch you know, good it the luck, way you did. But go ahead. Let's see if you could pin the tail on the flock here. But without crunching the numbers, I don't think so.
I'm going to say defensive tackle, defensive end. Oh, okay. In no apparent order.
No
order. Or should I go in order?
No. You don't got to. We didn't even ask to.
I didn't know if you crunched it in order.
I never crunch in order. And you could take that to the bank.
The blood bank. Oh, Steven Seagal.
Perfect.
Love that guy.
I'll be coming out of a cake a little later this evening. All right. Without order, what do you got?
Defensive end. Defensive tackle, center, linebacker.
Okay. Well, not quite 2 out of 3 ain't bad meatloaf style, but 3 out of 4 ain't not bad. So you got 3 out of 4 for the most popular combination. And by the way, I liked what I just heard from you. That's quite good. The most popular combination was this. By the way, I will say this before I give the answer. You asked this before. Right before beefy boy Phil Haynes was re-signed to that $4 million deal.
Right.
So, you know, a little foreshadowing there. The answers that were the most popular combo was edge, defensive tackle, guard, and center. That was kind of the, we need these four things. Go get those four things.
We still need those four things, despite the beefy boy Phil Haynes signing.
I agree that it would still make sense that if there's a good guard sitting there at 20 or 37 or 50, what is it, 50, 52, right? That a guard and center combination there would still make a lot of sense. Until the beefy boy Haynes signing, that would have been my exact answer. So edge, defensive tackle, guard, and center. I would have said that too. Now that is a little bit of like, you know, you hear others say, well, don't pigeonhole yourself. Don't just draft by need. But like you said, Brandon, okay, but if there's a different, if you know, depending on how the board falls, if it goes a certain way, just go best player available in certain spots. You know, sure, we're not the Eagles. We don't have like all the luxury in the world, talent-wise on the roster, but edge, defensive tackle, guard, center would kind of be like straight arrow, generic. Like we need those four things. But that was the most popular combination. Let me ask you a second question.
Yeah.
You got that. You were pretty close with that one. I'll give you partial credit. So speaking of partial, what do you think the percentage of people who answered said to who put a QB in that in the first four?
I had a say, gauge
that put it in a range.
Yeah. I was curious about this because I almost went QB instead of linebacker for my fourth.
Mm.
And so I'm going to say 20% said quarterback.
It was a little higher. It was, you know, this again, this, I crunched numbers, but not, you know, let's the it's around the, I like to round, I like round numbers. Right. Yeah. So it was around 30% that said we need a QB in there. The folks who were QB advocates were like pretty vocal. They're like, oh, I gotta have a QB. Like, or the QB was the first thing they listed.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. So I think parking there for maybe a hot minute. You know, I certainly heard your takes on this and Adam's takes. And I listened to the farewell on the field goals podcast, which was a great, you know, send off with that, by the way. I'll say I'm with you. Like, I don't desire a quarterback high. I just desire getting Geno Smith back at a fair market contract, you know, not Daniel Jones money. Whoa.
Right. Do you want to talk about Joe DeLeon's commentary around that? Because I so badly wanted to challenge him and go at this Geno versus Daniel Jones conversation.
Right.
But I also was having him on to talk draft. And so I figured that 20 minutes arguing if Geno Smith or Daniel Jones was better was maybe not the best use of that time.
You wanted him to be like a return guest. I get it, right? So, but he was good. He was definitely solid. And I went and followed him out on Twitter. He followed me back. So, you know, kudos, good dude. And I enjoyed that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joe DeLeon was like, he was like comparing ceilings, right? He was like, hey, the ceiling of Daniel Jones, because he's basically younger, is, you know, that much higher than Geno's. And I'm sitting there just like, Maybe so. Daniel Jones is a better runner of the football. That's cool. He's a good runner. And he had a good season, and he still really didn't push the ball downfield at all. Daniel Jones did not, he didn't like, didn't have a great wide receiving core. He doesn't exactly have, you know, Metcalf and Lockett out there. He does have Kenny Galladay. So there's something, but Jones doesn't push the ball downfield much at all. Now, can he progress? Dable offense, second year, third year there? Sure. Is he younger? Yeah, he's younger. With all that, Brandon, I'm still with you that, like, why was Geno Smith's ceiling with a so-so, very young offensive line, no third weapon, and a very, in and out running game? So why is Geno Smith's ceiling capped if Seattle improves in those areas, even in one or two of those areas?
Yeah, I think that it's easy to take that approach just because his season was so unexpected. And duplicating that, I can see from an outsider point of view that, well, how can Geno Smith duplicate that season that he had? Like, nobody expected that. So it feels very much like he may have hit his peak, and maybe he has. That might be the best that we see out of Geno Smith. Now, I'm with you. There are so many different areas of improvement on the offense, and I think that he has room to grow still in the offense. We didn't see all that I think that we could see out of Geno. But part of that too, it could be just like, he might be a little bit more hopeful with Daniel Jones. I'm a little more hopeful with Geno.
Right.
That's just how our fandom works out.
A little bit of bias, maybe setting it on both sides. Right. I think one of the major things for me where Seattle, like, our ability to score on the ground within the 5 yard line, that's where Geno went. When windows got super tight, he had a couple of near interceptions. He had some interceptions. And when you don't punch it in for six, and then you turn it over, worse yet, you don't even get three, but you're knocking on the goal line. I wouldn't mind it. Let's put it this way. If Geno drops to 27 touchdowns next year, right, from 29 to 27, and Ken Walker scores Jamal Williams style touchdowns from the 1 and 2 yard line all year long, we win more ball games. So Geno's ceiling is better, because then we maybe win 11, 12 games when we're competing for the division. So there's more ways, because it's a game of football and there's 11 people out there, for Geno to accelerate. That doesn't mean his touchdowns or his yards go up, but he still becomes even a better quarterback, and the Seahawks are better because of it. So it'll be interesting to see. The other position that was really focused on too was linebacker, which makes a lot of sense. I think we may talk about, you know, linebacker a bit later, and maybe even a different show we might put out with some of the news around that. So that was interesting to see. And then there was one individual who simply answered to this question, you know, what's the top four picks should be? He wrote beast mode. So I thought that was a really compelling, I thought that was probably the best answer we got. Just beast mode.
Just beast modes.
He wanted four picks to Voltron into beast mode.
Hey, if that can be done, are we talking about prime beast mode? Because if we're Voltroning the picks together in this, I'm trying to figure out how we do it, but okay. I shouldn't be reading into this, I think is what you're telling me.
It was just the best answer we could get, right? I mean, it's like yelling, you know, Norm when he walks into Cheers. It's just yell beast mode. Yeah,
beast totally mode.
Always acceptable in the realm and our dojo, right? Which was cool. So very cool interaction out there. People seem to really dig the question, which I loved it. It was a very great topic. It actually spurred this little short video we're doing here. And with that, let's talk a bit about, like, you know, well, what do we like? How do you want to do this? You want to go one for one? You want to just rattle off our four? I mean, you know, our house, we make the rules here.
I think we're telling on ourselves a little bit that both of us had the Geno Smith conversation and seemed to talk ourselves out of quarterback. So maybe we draft our way through this, and I'll let you have the first pick.
Okay. But the rules are we could both take the same darn position, right? Because that's
especially if we need two players at that position.
All right, we'll figure it out. Well, I guess there's no rules because it's not even a mock draft. We're doing a subset of a mock, which is, you know, captivating. All right. So the first thing for me, though, and again, with or without order, the first thing for me is it's defensive tackle. Like, that's it. I just can't watch, besides Al Woods plugging things up. He's older now. I love old Thighs, Captain Thighs, but I can't watch our interior defense get blown off the ball.
Yeah.
That has to stop. Of course, you want pressure up the middle too. That's what elite guys give you. Cool. If we can't get the elite defensive tackle, then the great run stuffing defensive tackle that can give you some pressure. Cool. Sign me up for that too. This 3-4 defense and the variations we run, elite defensive tackle. That'd be my number one for sure.
And that's where I would probably have gone first too, because on the edge, you have Daryl Taylor, you have Uchenna Nwosu, you have Boye Mafe. It feels like there is depth there, but I still think I have to go there with my top pick at defensive end, just because you can't have enough depth at that position. And if they don't come, and especially within the first four picks, if you're taking defensive end outside of those first four, the chance that you're going to get a plug and play potential starter type player, we've even seen with Daryl Taylor, it's taken him a couple years. He hasn't really developed in an every down type sense. It seems more like you're having to do a little Boye Mafe, Daryl Taylor, switcheroo,
Bruce Irvin mixed
in there too. You know, Nwosu, it was the only guy that I felt confident in being in there every single down.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of like somebody like that on the other side too. So I'm going to go defensive tackle or defensive end.
Okay.
You went defensive tackle.
Wait a second. It's obviously a popular pick. And for the reasons that you kind of rattled off where we do have that coverage, I'm not going there in the first four. Plus there looks to be quite a bit of depth at edge. If you listen to Bootleg Football and listen to some of the other greats that are out there doing their thing, maybe there's some other places out there. And I don't want to foreshadow too much because I have one that I'll drop a bit later that maybe could be a bit of a hybrid.
We were only doing four and now we're on number three. So you're running out of runway
But I'm on number two. Let's be very, like, I'm going to center this to say, what do I want? So I will just take one off the board. We've been chatting about it where we kind of have a draft. There's some draft crushes going around. I've been for a couple of years now saying, hey, the NFL is many, many ways driven through that third weapon on the field. Brandon, this is the year we go get a legitimate third wide receiver. There's some names out there, but this ain't the name dropping game. I want that third wide receiver. It does feel like a miss with D. Eskridge. Hate to say it, but just feels like we missed. And I want that third wide receiver. Seems like there's some elite talent that you could possibly get in that first 37 picks, which we have three of them.
I'm interested in going there. I don't know if that's where I'm going quite yet, but I think I do want a pass catcher. So maybe I'll just go right there right now and say, I think that tight end could be possible.
Ooh, now, I like it.
Defensive end, defensive tackle. That's where I'm going with my first two. Flip-flop them however you want. Tight end, just based on the strength of the class, from what I'm hearing from the experts, I want to go through and watch some of them too. But you have guys that can potentially protect on the outside. Think like we've seen with Will Dissly. But if we could get someone who is elite at the tight end spot, to where you have George Kittle, Travis Kelce, tight end. If that's the kind of talent and depth that's in this draft, then I want to test it out and I want to do it within the first four picks.
If we don't do wide receiver, I want the offensive weapon, right? So it's almost like whichever way we get there is cool by me. And if they see there is this glut in a good way, a positive glut of what they're saying is a different tight end talent. There's like all sort, like pick your variety. Like what kind do you want? Do you want the move tight end? Do you want the Heath Miller type? Do you want the big slot type? They seem to all be available there. So I would be very interested in that as well.
It's just that we had last season, it was flavor of the week. Oh, this is Noah Fant's week. Oh, it's Colby Parkinson had his two catches for 24 yards week. And hey, there's Will Dissly who had a 40 yard game. If we could find a guy who's consistent that we know is going to be the weapon week to week, I want to have somebody that the defenses have to account for week after week and fear.
Yeah. I mean, you see it. And, you know, it's not just fantasy football where it's like, ooh, you get one of the elite guys and you could run away with your league or really have a sincere advantage. No, it's football. Like it makes it very, very difficult, extremely difficult when you have that level of elite tight end, obviously Kelce being the cream of the crop and then some. But like you said, Kittle, those dudes, like, so if there's a guy like that, yeah, man, I'm all about it, especially in this offense with all the pre-snap motion, ways to get guys open over the middle. And the fact that Geno, you know, go look at the heat maps, the data don't lie. Geno used the middle of the field. Geno threw between the hashes. Previous quarterback, Russ didn't do that. Just did not do it a lot. Be interesting to see if he does it with Sean Payton. I don't know what's going to change after basically a decade of football, but we'll see. Geno accesses the middle of the field. So I would love that. Other spot for me too, like definitely center. Like absolutely, especially we got Beefy Boy. If we get a really good legit center, you know, like a plug and play, like here you go, he's in day one center, then you probably could live with Phil Haynes being like maybe an average right guard. You got D'Lou that's above average, and you got two tackles that are in their sophomore season and getting stronger who were good their rookie season, and they're young and they're inexpensive. That feels pretty darn good in terms of like building a foundation. What was center in your, you've been wanting center longer than I've been wanting a third wide receiver. So
It was in my top four initially, but then I think I'd be okay with it, but I think that you may also be able to find a linebacker still within the top 100. Center within the top 100, which leads me to linebacker, where I wanted to go because, right. I think by the time this comes out, we would have already released the show about how we want Bobby Wagner to come back. And so I want a linebacker to pair with Bobby Wagner, to learn from him and be the middle of that defense type of guy with Bobby in the 2023 season.
That sounds like a winning combination. And my fourth slot was linebacker, specifically outside linebacker, which in a 3-4, it's kind of your edge too. Like, so you could play it both ways.
So you cheated.
I am definitely cheating. So the way to cheat the system for me with more, even more specificity is, I think folks know Top Billing, Murph, right? Murph puts out wonderful, wonderful YouTube channel, Top Billing, B-I-L-L-I-N-apostrophe. Find him on YouTube, does a ton of content. He does a lot of Seahawks content. He just kind of jives on the Seahawks. I think he gets a lot of reaction. He put out a video pretty recently. Who was it? The linebacker, Drew Sanders. He put out he's like, hey, the Arkansas, linebacker, but he's hybridish. He's kind of the freak. He just like, he's all over the ball hawk. He's just got an insane kind of skill set that almost reminds you of like Jamal Adams down the box, just doing football things. And that's exciting, right? So if we could get a linebacker that really could play the edge a bit as well in that 3-4, that's how I'll cheat that last answer and say like, that's kind of what I'm into. So I didn't want to mention too many names throughout this episode, but you go watch that Top Billing thing and you can only drool over a guy like Drew Sanders, who's just a ball player. It's like, I want young, fast, aggressive linebackers who just bring their hats and kind of bring the boom back from that position. You want to pair that with Bobby and get that great little, the age tandem going. Wonderful. Love that a lot. Did you have any particular linebackers that you were, I know we're not talking specific guys, but since I brought it up, any dudes that are kind of, that are hitting you?
I'm really waiting for the combine, because one of the things that we've talked about over the years is that there are certain traits that John and Pete look for in their linebackers. And a lot of those numbers we get from the combine, and they seem to be very strict with it. And so I'm kind of waiting for that before I narrow down the players that I really want to focus on.
Okay, fair enough. And the combine's starting just like next week, right? So it's coming, or even this week. Yeah, I think it's starting this week.
Off-season's so rolling right by.
Flying by. Time rolls on. Nice, fun time here. So we wanted to come at you with this little vignette. I think it's kind of fun, Brandon. You throw some things out to Twitter. They get a reaction. Hey, that's a good topic. That's, you know, people seem interested. Let's talk about that. So we did here. So I would definitely encourage folks, hey, at Seahawkers Pod out on Twitter. And then something folks can do, it's free and it means a lot to us, is if you're liking the vids, share it with the 12s, and then youtube.com/Seahawkers Podcast. If you're enjoying it, there's value there for you. Cost you nothing to subscribe and then share it out. Hit the likes as you're watching the videos. It truly helps just bring more and more people to what we're doing. And, you know, we enjoy doing it. So it's just, I don't know about you, Brandon. I go and I check the stats, you know, me crunching numbers again. And when we get more people to around the content, it makes me smile. Like it brings me happiness, Brandon.
And if you do want to support monetarily, you can click the join button on YouTube, or you can go to getintheflock.com, support the show at $3 or more. Mm-hmm. And you can get into our Discord channel where we chat throughout the off season. $12 and above gets you into our Facebook Ring of Honor group where we chat a little bit more frequently. And yeah, just another way to interact throughout the off season.
Yeah, it makes the time, these doldrums, not quite the May doldrums, but the winter doldrums as they are. You know, XFL can only carry me so far, Brandon. I can only watch so much Sea Dragons before I got to talk about our Seattle Seahawks.
And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen ed provided by Strayer University affiliates of Feel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.